Hello, magnificent entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 353, which means you can find all the relevant links and show notes for today's episode over at tashcorbin.com/353. Today's episode is going to help you reduce your time marketing and increase your results as a result of that. How cool is that? Less time marketing, making more money. I'm sure you're going to be as excited as I am to dive into today's episode. Let's do it. I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. So is it actually possible for you to get better results out of your marketing by putting in less time? Yes, yes, it is. And if you already are not with me and don't believe it, let's ensure that we also set aside some time for you to unpack where that mindset comes from so that we can start unhooking your belief that in order to make more money, you have to work harder or longer. I personally also had that belief, so no judgment here, but it is something that I think as we get into the growth stage of our business, as we start scaling up, as we're looking to leverage our time and really snowball that momentum and that growth, it's a mindset piece that needs to be addressed because your beliefs will impact on the strategies that you choose. Your beliefs will impact on the results that you manifest. Your belief will drive your behavior, and your behavior will contribute to your results. So if you're looking at the world through the lens of, if I want double the results, I have to work twice as long, then you will look for strategies that fit that mold. You will manifest ideas and information and mentors who teach that type of framework. So first and foremost, we want to make sure our mindset's in check and that we actually are open to the belief that you can reduce your time marketing but increase your results. And from my perspective, the key to be able to do this is your client attraction process. When we break marketing down into these layers, it actually then gives us the information and insight that we need to make informed decisions about how to achieve more growth in less time. So for those of you who are new to the Tash Corbin world and have not heard about the client attraction process before, or the CAP, as I call it, your CAP, client attraction process, your CAP, it is a 5-stage process. So instead of just going, people find me and then they buy from me, that being a 2-stage process, we break it down into more depth. So a detailed client attraction process includes 5 layers. Number 1 is reach. We need to get in front of an audience, the right audience preferably. So your client attraction process starts with reach. Then we need to nurture. We need to nurture a relationship with that audience. We nurture a relationship at scale by creating really valuable podcasts that help people to reduce their time marketing and increase their results. Oh, look at me nurturing our relationship with this podcast, right? We can do it at scale with content and emails and live classes and webinars and all of those sorts of things. We also can nurture those relationships one-to-one. So for example, I often will encourage you to slide into my DMs and ask a question or share something with me. We're building a one-to-one relationship there. So nurture is the 2nd stage of that client attraction process. The more we nurture a relationship and connection, the more likely people are to progress to the next stage of the client attraction process. If I don't know you, I don't like you, I don't trust you, I don't feel connected to you, then I'm going to stay at a distance and it's going to be far harder for you to engage me in a conversation about working with you. It's going to be far harder for you to encourage me to join your course or to buy your package. So nurture is stage 2 of the client attraction process. Stage 3 is lead generation. Now, lead generation goes beyond that, just we have a relationship. And it's where we invite people to move closer to buying something and they move closer. They don't buy it, but they move closer. They lean in. So for example, lead generation could be offering people to have a 15-minute conversation about working together in your VIP package, and they say, yes, I'd like to talk to you about working in your VIP package. That's generating a lead. That person is now a lead, right? So it's lead generation. Lead generation can be done at scale and broadcast as well. When I am launching the Takeoff program, I run the 5-day client attraction challenge. Wink, wink, there's one coming up soon. So that 5-day client attraction challenge is saying to my larger audience, if you want support and help to attract clients to your business from online channels, I can help you to do that for free over the course of 5 days. And those people lean in and go, yes, I do need help with attracting clients from online channels, sign me up. So that is broadcast lead generation, because those people are taking a step closer to working with me because it's a very specific thing that I'm helping with. If there are people on my mailing list or in my audience who are like, you know what? No, that's not what I'm struggling with at the moment. I'm struggling with designing an online course. Well, then I don't want them to step closer to hearing about the Takeoff program, because that's not the program that they need. That's not the help that they need from me. So lead generation is about inviting people to take a step towards working with you in a paid capacity, and they say yes, and they step forward towards it. So one-to-one lead generation is far more high touch, high conversion, and far closer to the sale point, whereas broadcast lead generation is further away from that sale point, right? So they didn't say, yes, I want information about the Takeoff program. They said, yes, I need help with getting online clients, and I want to participate in an event where you will help me with that. So it's not quite there yet in terms of, are they actually interested in working with me, right? I don't have that confirmed yet, but that's broadcast lead generation. So just to recap where we're at in UCAP so far: reaching people, nurturing a relationship, one-on-one and broadcast, lead generation, one-on-one and broadcast. The next stage of the client attraction process is conversion. This is where the sale is made. So the conversion event one-to-one is you're on a call with them and they say, yes, take my money. The conversion event one-to-one is you send them an email with a quote and they reply and say, yes, let's go ahead, send me the invoice. Right? The conversion event one-to-one is that they see you promote your 3-session package on social media and they click the link and they buy it, right? So that's a conversion event, is they go and they do it, right? They actually pay the money. You've made the sale. They book their photo shoot. They book their website in with you. They buy a 10-session yoga class package, right? So that's conversion, is that you've made the sale. The conversion event in a broadcast or at scale way is they go to your sales page and they click buy now and they buy it. They do the client attraction challenge with me, right? The 5-day client attraction challenge. And when I say, if you'd like to continue building a scalable way of attracting and converting clients, we do that in the Takeoff program, and they say, yeah, I'm in, and they go and buy it, right? So conversion is where you make the sale. And then the final stage of the client attraction process, yes, there is another stage beyond conversion, is delivery. You deliver on what you promised. You deliver on the thing that they purchased. Now, the reason why I include delivery in the client attraction process is because, number one, if you don't deliver and they get a refund, is that really a client attraction process complete? No, it's not. So you want to make sure they actually deliver on what you promise, but also, delivering on what you promise is one of the fastest ways to increase the number of clients that you have, because that's where word of mouth comes from. That's where, oh, I bought that 3-session pack with you and it was absolutely amazing and I'm so in love with it and I want more. Can I sign up to a 12-month package, right? So delivery is also part of the client attraction process because it directly drives sales. Because if you're not delivering on your promise, those sales are going to dry up pretty quickly. Not just because people won't rebuy or people won't refer, but also because it's an energetic mismatch as well. One of the fastest ways to dry up the number of people buying from you is to be in a state of feeling like, I can't deliver for the clients I have. So, you know, this is something I've worked with a few VIP clients on and some people inside my programs where they come to me and they're like, oh, you know, all of my leads have dried up, all of my sales have dried up, and I'm like still doing all the same marketing activities and da 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 da. And, you know, I am behind on this client project, I'm behind on that client project. I'm like, this is an energetic issue. You might be saying with your words on social media, hey, I'm open for business and I want to come you to come and work with me. But with your energy, you're saying, I can't handle the clients I have. I'm not delivering on the stuff that I've sold already. I feel really guilty about the fact that I am not delivering. And so it's not just a tangible result that delivery delivers for you. It is also an energetic thing as well. So when I'm working with people and they're in that state, they're like, oh, I'm behind on client projects. I'm behind on this. I'm behind on that. But also I need money. I need sales coming in. How do I make money quick? I say, step one, deliver for your existing clients. Follow through on your promise. Make sure that that is done. So delivery is a very strong driver of client attraction as well. So that's your client attraction process. Reach, nurture, lead generation, conversion, delivery. Now, even just by breaking it down into those stages, you may have some insight already as to where you're wasting time in your client attraction process or where you're not giving enough time in your client attraction process. So step one is to actually map out your client attraction process. And you can do it in one of two ways. Number one, you write down everything that you do to make sales and deliver on your promise to your clients now, right? What are all the things that I do? Even think about it from a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, right? Every day I post on social media, I reply to people's questions, I post in this Facebook group, I do a story on my Instagram, right? All the things that you're doing on a daily basis. Every day I reply to customer inquiries, I do client-facing sessions if I have any, right? So you're writing everything down. And then on a weekly basis, I create a blog post, I share a video on YouTube, I send an email to my mailing list, I blah, 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 right? All the things that you do on a monthly basis, these are the things I do. On a quarterly basis, these are the things I do. On an ad hoc basis, I run launch webinars, I do Facebook Lives, right? So just write down every single little thing that you are currently doing to attract and convert clients and deliver on your promise. And then go through and number them as 1 to 5. Is this reach, nurture, lead gen, conversion, or delivery? And you will be able to see just by mapping that out where the gaps might be or where you might be overspending your time. So that's the first way of doing it, is to write down every single thing that you're currently doing and then categorize it. The second way to do it is to, on a piece of paper, just write down those 5 stages: reach, nurture, lead gen, conversion, delivery. And then, knowing what they do now, what are the things that you do consistently for reach? What are the things you consistently do for nurture? What are the things? So sometimes when I'm working with people who are really struggling with client attraction process and they've really got some problems, we actually do both. So we do the first way first and then we do the second way. So you can do both as well. But those are the two main ways to map out your client attraction process. Then once you've done that, so that's map your cap, right? Map cap. Step two is look for cap gaps. Where are the gaps in your client attraction process? When I do this with most people in startup, their cap gap is lead generation. They are reaching lots of people on the internet. They're doing all these actions to grow their reach. They're doing reels on Instagram and they're on TikTok and they're this and they're that, right? They're trying to reach as many people as possible on the internet. They're also very good at nurturing those relationships. Generally, people focus more on nurture broadcast. I would add in nurture one-to-one. That's often something that's kind of misconstrued as a waste of time in the online business world, but absolutely it contributes to conversion. So I don't see it as a waste of time. So, but they generally are very good at nurture. They're very good at you know, creating content, sharing value. They might even run consistent webinars. They probably run far too many webinars, or they give out far too many freebies, or, you know, like they're doing way too much in nurture. But you might identify, actually, I'm completely neglecting nurture. I've forgotten to nurture my audience. So, or I do it, but I don't do it consistently. I send emails to my mailing list, but it's like I send 3 in 1 week and then I send nothing for 3 months. That's not nurturing a relationship, because one of the fastest ways to erode trust is that I cannot reliably predict your behavior. And so if I can't predict whether I'm going to get an email from you this week or not, actually, you're not nurturing trust. So consistency is important as a factor in ensuring you're nurturing effectively. So we're looking for those cap gaps. Most people in the heart-centered space, and particularly in the early stages of their business, their biggest cap gap is lead generation. They think that the reason they're not making enough sales is they're not reaching enough people on the internet, but actually they're reaching more than enough people on the internet. They're just not moving those people through their client attraction process effectively. And the place where most people get stuck is lead generation. I don't have effective strategies to invite people to lean in and for me to identify them as leads, right? And when they lean in, I go, oh, lead, right? They don't see them as leads. We did, inside the Takeoff program at the start of this year, we did a special mastermind for a month called the Big Month Mastermind, where we 100%, just in that mastermind, the thing that we focused on was improving lead generation, because I identified that even when people did the Takeoff program, which is very lead generation focused, the lead generation stuff was the stuff that they either ignored, or it just was inconsistent, or they hadn't yet found a lead generation strategy that they enjoyed and that really worked for them. So they just kept putting it to the bottom of the list. And so I was like, you know what? Toffees, that's what we call ourselves in the Takeoff program. Toffees. You know what, Toffees? We need to sort this out. So we did a mastermind for a month. It was free for all the Takeoff students. Just focus on lead generation. And we played with all of these different lead generation strategies. People picked the ones that they were excited about. They kept the ones that worked. They let go of the ones that didn't. And it made such a difference. People who thought that they needed to reach more and more people on the internet in order to get to their 5K month actually had 5K months just by fixing their lead generation issues. And so that is often where the cap gap is in lead generation. And I actually have a podcast episode that's called The Most Common Cap Gap, and it talks about lead generation. So I will link to that in the show notes of today's episode at tashcorbin.com/353. So if you're listening to this and going, oh, I think lead generation is my cap gap, go and listen to that podcast episode, because I talk about ways to remedy it and why lead generation is so critical. So that's cap gaps. But then also the third step, this is where we really reduce your time in marketing to increase your result, is we look for cap crap. And I apologize for the salty language, but it needed to rhyme with cap. I was going to be like cap zap away the crap, right? Something like that. I'll stop saying that word. But this is where we look for things that you're doing that don't actually contribute their weight to client attraction. So you might have been told many, many moons ago that in order to get great reach on your Facebook page, you shouldn't schedule up posts with links in them. You should say link in comments, right? Has anyone been told this before? Because it's actually not true and it certainly doesn't work anymore. But you might be putting extra time and energy in your Facebook content because you have a perception, or you've been told, that by doing it this way and taking this extra piece of time, you'll get more reach. But actually, when you look at the return on investment for that extra time, it's not there, right? So this is where we're looking for those actions that you're taking through the assumption that it'll bring in more clients, when it's actually not doing its job, or it's not doing it to the extent that it would work if you changed tack or you just stopped doing it in the first place. So that might mean that you are on three different social media channels, but actually there's one that is the clear winner. There's one where you get the most engagement, you get the most leads, you get the most growth, and you're just doing the other two because someone, probably Gary Vaynerchuk, told you that you need to be on every platform, that the more platforms you're on, the better. But he's wrong. Full stop, right? He also gets up at, I don't know what time, 4:30 or something ridiculous, and works redonkulous hours. Like, he can't catch a taxi without turning it into a time to create content for one of his bajillion channels, because he's created this like crazy rod for his own back. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. So there are, when you have broken your client attraction process down to these steps, if you can identify, I have a huge gap in lead generation, but I don't have any more time to work on my marketing, the time's got to come from somewhere else. And the beautiful thing about that is that it helps you to be far more discerning about the strategies you keep, and it helps you to eliminate the strategies that aren't pulling their weight. So whilst you might get an extra couple of listeners to your podcast when you put 30 minutes into sharing it in all of these other random Facebook communities, is that 30 minutes best spent doing that? Or would you be better off spending that 30 minutes on lead gen and converting the audience you already have? More audience doesn't equal more sales, but more leads equals more sales. The link between reach and conversion, sales, is not a direct relationship. It's an indirect relationship. So for example, I normally reach around 5,000 people, different accounts, each month on Instagram. If I had a reel that went viral and reached 30,000 accounts, right? So I 6x my reach on Instagram. Would that mean I would 6x my sales? No. But if I 6x my leads for my Lex launch of the takeoff program, would that mean I 6x my sales? Yes, because my conversion rate is my conversion rate. So for most people, when I dig into their client attraction process and where they're spending their time, they are over investing time in reach and under investing time in lead generation and conversion, when if they just switched that up, they would make far more sales and they wouldn't have to grow their audience so much. The fastest way to dry up sales is to ignore the audience you already have. Those people already know you. They already like you. They already trust you. They're already on your mailing list. They're already following you on socials. Those people are the people most likely to buy from you, but you're ignoring them to go and find some more strangers on the internet to chase. So it's not just about adding things into your client attraction process. It's also about eliminating those things that aren't contributing appropriately. Now, I'm not saying those things that don't work. Notice my language is very specific here, because often you'll have strategies in your client attraction process that work, but they just don't work to the extent that other things work. And so that's where it can get tricky, because we need to measure it based on the weight that it carries in terms of sales. So for example, if you have a reach strategy that reaches 30 more people, that's not the same value as a lead generation strategy that gets 30 more leads. Leads are far more valuable to your business than reach, cold audience. So we need to be able to discern the value of different results that different stages of the client attraction process creates. Okay. Now, if this is getting you very excited, or you're like, oh my gosh, I know I'm doing it all wrong, Tash, I need to fix my client attraction process. Well, I have great news for you. I mentioned it earlier in the episode. If you're listening to this when it first comes out, I am running a client attraction challenge from the 12th to the 16th of June in 2023. And this is how I help you to not only build a client attraction process that works, but actually to eliminate things from your client attraction process that aren't pulling their weight. So make sure that you come to the show notes of today's episode at tashcorbin.com/353. And there I will have the link for you to come and register for the 5-day client attraction challenge so that we can work together over just 5 days, totally free, to really build a client attraction process that is effective and can help you to reduce your time that you're spending on marketing, but increase the results. And this client attraction process, I've run it several times. I reckon this is about the 9th or 10th time that I've run it, and it works. There are people who did the first client attraction challenge with me, and they have done every single client attraction challenge with me since, because they know when they do the client attraction challenge with me for that week, they significantly improve their lead generation, they getting sales in the door, and it's helping them to refresh and revise their client attraction process based on what's working for them now and the scalability and strategies that work for their particular stage of business. So come along, tashcorbin.com/353. Let's get you into the client attraction challenge and let's get that client attraction process nailed so that you can reduce your time marketing and increase your results. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast. And until next time, I cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.